Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Friday show, Sacrament of Matrimony, Family Spiritual Warfare.
Yeah, Tobias and Sarah at your service. Welcome back.
Oh, by the way, this weekend's Corpus Christi Sunday. Try to find a place to go and celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi at a parish or your diocese. Here in Phoenix, in downtown Phoenix, Bishop Olmsted's going to have a diocesan Corpus Christi procession from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. It starts, the procession starts in downtown Phoenix this Sunday at the Virginia Piper Plaza. And they're going to go to Mater Misericordiae and pray there. And then they're going to come back to the plaza, which is right in front of the diocese.
Yes, we want everybody to show up because we need to just saturate downtown Phoenix with prayer, just like all other capitals. We need it the most, especially during this forensic audit.
Amen. Really good point.
Yeah, and I also want to mention this month is devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes.
And we want you to start praying the novena, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Remember, we don't want to break our Lord's heart. So let's get in there and start praying the novena to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Great idea. You know what? And there's a song by Dionne Warwick when she used to be a Christian, a Protestant. She sung a song, Never Get to Heaven If You
Break My Heart.
And that's true.
Yeah.
You won't get to heaven if you break Jesus' heart.
Right.
That means if you live and die in mortal sin, you're going to break his heart. You're not going to get to heaven. So,
and we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
How many of us want to break someone we love's heart? Just think about it that way.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anita, after the shows today, we're also taking off where?
We're going to Bakersfield. Jesse and I will be at the Gardens at Mill Creek, and it's put on by the Catholic Men's Fellowship. All are welcome,
men and women.
I believe there's still tickets. Go look on our website, and there's the information. Just call, and you can still obtain your tickets. The doors open at 2:30 to 9, and that includes dinner. Your fee includes dinner. So I encourage you to all be there. I'd like to see you and come introduce yourself to us. And just an evening of fun and fellowship.
And evangelization,
most of all.
Yeah,
let's get closer to Jesus.
Yep, that's tomorrow, June 5th, Saturday, 2 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
Bakersfield, Garden.
At the Gardens at Mill Creek.
Let's pray St. Michael. Name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll pray in English, then Latin.
Yes.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Santi Michele Arcangele, defendenos in preliu, contra nequitium et insidious diaboli esu presidium, impedit ili Deo supplices et precamur tuque, princeps militiae celestis et anamaliosque spiritus malignus, qui ad perditioni manumarum pervagantur in mundo, divina virtute, in infernum de trude, amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, Spiritus Sancti, amen. Anita, we have a person that we both respect, admire.
Yes.
I consider him the voice of St. Paul, John the Baptist, a prophet.
Yes.
A prophet truly lives in our midst. He's in hiding, just like many of the great prophets. His name is Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
Yes, and there's we must pray for.
Yes, Lord, protect him. St. Joseph, pray for him and protect him. St. Peter Paul, pray for him and protect him. He wrote an article, and it's called Ex Patre Diablo, Your Father is Satan. And he's talking about what we all know, the Great Reset.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to share the article. We're going to make some comments. We'll share the most important sections of the article.
Right, because it's a really long article.
Yeah, it's so well written.
Yeah, and for those of you that would like to follow along, you can just look on the website. But anyways,
the article's called...
put up by Church Militant.
Yeah, The Great Reset by Archbishop. So we'll just go back and forth so you can hear different voice inflections and we'll make our comments. Archbishop Vigano, this is his letter he wrote, not us. He says, I encourage you not to retreat and not to disarm in this deadly battle that we're called to fight in this fatal hour of history as never before. Be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. clothe yourselves in the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of evil that dwell in high places. Take up, therefore, the armor of God, so that you may be able to resist on the day of evil and remain standing after having endured all trials. He quotes Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. He's very biblical and catechetical in his writings.
Yeah, absolutely. And he continues with, the brief reflection I'm about to offer you is in some manner a shortened preview of my presentation at the Venice Summit, which will take place on May 30th. So obviously it already took place May 30th. And now he goes on with his article saying...
That section is called Lethal Deception.
Then versus now. That's his lethal deception. Then versus now. And he begins with...
He's warning us, Anita.
Yes, he's warning
about
us.
About communism,
yep.
the inceptions of communism, and now.
Right.
It's back.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
It's back. When Stalin decided in 1932 to eliminate millions of Ukrainians in the genocide of Holodomor, he planned a famine by seizing food supplies, forbidding commerce, prohibiting travel, and censoring those who reported the facts. So who's the ones that report the facts? Journalists?
Yeah,
people,
the mainstream
goodwill.
Media right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This crime against humanity, recently recognized as such by many nations around the world, was conducted with methods not unlike of those that have been adopted during the so-called emergency pandemic as part of the Great Reset.
Comment. What Stalin did in the 30s, we're doing right now in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Right now. That's
yeah.
his argument.
With the shutdowns, you know, not going to church,
closing businesses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Social distancing, put on a mask,
yeah.
Wash
mm-hmm.
your... Yeah. Let's.
So he continued. Joseph Stalin... Okay. Excuse me, that was a picture of him. A Ukrainian peasant could have asked, why doesn't Stalin send provisions instead of forbidding shops to open and forbidding travel? Doesn't he realize that he is making everyone starve to death? Yet, an observer who was not influenced by communist propaganda would have responded to him, because Stalin wants to eliminate all the Ukrainians, and he is blaming a famine he knowingly cause for this person. Let's stop there. There's two people that are in the know, that realize that everything that's going on here in the United States and throughout the world is propaganda.
Lies,
and those
lies,
people
lies.
That says
half truths,
they're compromising. Oh, why doesn't he just instead of forbidding shops, just give us food and forbidding travel? We'd rather have food. So they're compromised. They're not seeing the bigger picture.
And it's the same thing right now.
Yeah,
well,
that's.
I'm going to shut down all the businesses, all the middle class. Don't worry, I'm going to send you guys a paycheck. Okay, we'll just print all kinds of money and flood the economy with all kinds of money that we can't.
This is the solution.
Yeah, and stay home, and we'll pay you $40,000 a year.
So we can control you.
Exactly. Father Archbishop Vigano says, the peasant who asked the question would have committed the same error as many today who, in the presence of an alleged pandemic, ask why governments have preemptively undermined public health, weakened national pandemic plans, forbidden effective cures, and administered harmful, if not deadly, treatments. Furthermore, they're now forcing citizens, using the blackmail of perpetual lockdown, stay-at-home orders, and unconstitutional green passes, to submit to vaccines that not only do not guarantee any immunity, but rather involve a serious short-term and long-term side effects, and also further spread more resistant forms of the virus.
And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing lots of people that are they're taking the jab, and they are either passing away or
getting very sick.
Yeah, getting very sick with some adverse effects.
Looking for any logic in what we are told by the mainstream media, government officials, virologists, and so-called experts is practically impossible. That is, we must renounce thinking that our rulers are acting with our good in mind. And more generally, we must stop believing that those who speak to us are honest, sincere, and motivated by good principles. Can anybody say, Dr. Fauci?
Yep.
Yep. He says, of course, it's easier to think the pandemic is real that a mortal virus exists that is killing millions of victims, and that our leaders and doctors should be appreciated for the effort they have made in the face of an event that caught all of them unprepared, or that the invisible enemy has been effectively defeated by the amazing vaccine which the pharmaceutical companies, funded by George Soros and Bill Gates, by the way, with the purest humanitarian spirit and without any economic self-interest, have produced in record time. Really, are they disinterested? Guess what? If you get sick or die from these pharmaceutical drugs from all these companies, you can't sue them.
Yeah,
and they made sure.
There's that disclaimer when you sign the authorization to receive the jab, because you do it for every immunization. You have to sign an authorization that you agree and that to everything that it encompasses in taking that vaccine.
Yeah. Archbishop Gomez on the next. Archbishop Vigano.
That's okay.
Okay.
We're thinking too fast.
Yes. on the next segment, he's going to talk about, Anita, cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
And, you know, that's when
your thoughts are fighting against each other. That's what it is, essentially.
You got truth over here. You know something is true, but it's easier to believe the propaganda.
Right.
It's comfortable, but the truth is here, so it's like this. That's cognitive dissonance.
Okay, here comes our mother.
What up, Renobis?
Lead us to heaven, to our Lord, Mother Mary.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us.
Virgo Potens.
Ora por nobis. I love the way she comes in and leads us.
Gosh.
Leads us back into our segment. Just like she's going to lead us to heaven, right?
Yes, exactly. And by the way, St. Louis de Montfort promises that we will experience the reign of Mary before the second coming of Christ. And boy, oh boy.
I can't wait.
Yes. Anita, we're talking about Archbishop Vigano's article. It's called The Great Reset. He gives us a good overview from Catholic theology and scripture about what's going on right now in the culture around the world. And the second part is called Lies Beget Cognitive Dissonance. What's cognitive dissonance again, Anita?
It's the want and the not want at the same time.
Yeah, you got truth here. You know what's true, but it's convenient to follow the propaganda.
Right.
So what Archbishop Vigano says?
It's easy. Yeah. It's easy.
It's comfortable.
He says, and then there are relatives, friends, and colleagues who look at us as if we are crazy, calling us conspiracy theorists. Those are us. Those that don't believe that this is a propaganda. That's what those people call us. Or as a certain conservative intellectual has begun to do with me. So someone else is doing that to him, calling him a conspiracy theorist. They will accuse us of exasperating the tones of a debate, which, if moderated, they say, would help us to better understand the terms of the matter. And if our friends who attend our parish, we will hear them say that even Francis has recommended the vaccines, which Professor so-and-so has declared to be morally acceptable, even if they are produced with aborted fetuses. Since he admonishes us, who today criticize the COVID vaccine except other vaccines that have been administered up until now, even if those two were also obtained with abortions.
The lie seduced many, even among conservatives and traditionalists themselves. We too at times find it difficult to believe that the traitors of iniquity are so well organized.
Aren't they, though?
That they have succeeded in manipulating information.
Yeah,
blackmailing politicians, corrupting doctors, and intimidating businessmen in order to force billions of people to wear a useless muzzle and consider the vaccine as the only way to escape certain death. It's like a sacrament to the left, you know.
Yes.
Put on a mask.
Yes, put on a mask.
That's, you know,
6 feet apart. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, that's their liturgy.
Yeah, it is. It is their liturgy.
Yeah.
It's a religion. Mm-hmm. And Archbishop Vigano says, and yet all it takes is one read through the guidelines that the World Health Organization wrote in 2019 regarding the COVID-19 that was still to come.
Wow.
To understand that there is a single script under a single direction, with actors who stick to the part assigned to them, and a group of mercenary, self-seeking journalists who shamelessly distort reality. I'm going to tell you who I believe he's talking about right here. Okay, this is my interpretation of what he said. There's a single script under a single direction. Satan is behind all of this great reset, but he has somebody, he has one person who's his go-to guy on earth. Hey, tradition calls that the Antichrist.
Yeah, and he's got demons like those that are pushing this narrative.
Yeah.
And the like Fauci and
absolutely those are his underlings,
the Democrat Party.
Yeah, but Satan, who's orchestrating all of this, has one go-to person on earth. We call that person. Is he here? I don't know if he's here. I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you a lot of people have said all the Vigano himself and Pope Benedict, everything that's happening, they're saying this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, what does that mean? Okay, a spirit has an intellect. Okay. Yeah. And every one of us has a spirit in our body. That's the intellectual part of the human person. So when Pope Benedict the 16th, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Vigano, and a few others, when they say that everything that's happening right now is the spirit of the Antichrist, that tells me that he may be here. And because that sentence right there basically lets you know where he's coming from.
Yep. So he continues, there is always an excuse behind these actions, an apparent cause, something false that hides reality. Wow. A lie, in short, a fraud. Let us observe the entire operation from the outside, trying to identify the recurring elements, the unconfessibility of the criminal design of the elite, the need to cloak it with acceptable ideas, the creation of an emergency situation for which the elite have already planned a solution that would otherwise be unacceptable. Wow. There you go. You know, they're trying to cloak it. And when there is fraud.
Yeah. And that's what the devil does. Mm-hmm. The devil's all about lying and deception. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And everything that we're dealing with here, we're dealing with a bunch of liars and a bunch of deceivers.
Okay. He continues with, lying is the trademark of the architects of the Great Reset of the last few centuries, the Protestant pseudo-Reformation, the French Revolution, the Italian Risorgimento, the Russian Revolution, the two world wars, the Industrial Revolution, the Revolution of 1968, that's when we were born, we were young, the fall of the Berlin Wall. Each time, if you notice, the apparent reasons for these revolutions never correspond to the real one.
In other words, all these revolutions, they always have an excuse as to why we got into this revolution or war.
Yeah.
And then we find out later that there's actually another reason why we entered into this war.
And it's just chipping away at family faith values, morality. Remember, each of these revolutions, wars, it's just chip, chip, chip.
To bring in a new world order.
And that's what they're doing, weaken it.
Go ahead.
In this long series of great resets organized by the same elite of conspirators, not even the Catholic Church has managed to escape. Wow.
Look at this section that you're going to read is powerful here. Look what he says.
So he continues, think about it. What did the liturgists of the council tell us when they wanted to impose the Reformed Mass on us? What they said was that the people did not understand.
The Latin Mass.
The Latin Mass. You guys are too stupid.
Yes, yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
You're too stupid. That the liturgy had to be made understandable in order to allow for a greater participation of the faithful. And in the name of that false pretext, they did not simply translate the Apostolic Mass into the vernacular, but instead they invented a different mass altogether because they wanted to cancel the primary doctrinal obstacle to ecumenical dialogue with the Protestants, indoctrinating the faithful into the new ecclesiology of Vatican II.
And we're seeing
we're seeing it
right now with all this craziness coming from the German bishops LGBT bishops in our country. I think 14 of them.
Right.
You can go on YouTube, watch the masses, the way they're celebrated at the Religious Education Congress.
Yeah, every parish you go to is celebrated different. There's different.
No uniformity.
No uniformity. There's nothing uniform. You go to a Latin mass, uniformity.
It's all the same.
There's discipline. There's obedience.
Yes.
There's quiet, there's reverence, there's love. You could see love for the Lord
yes.
in all those people.
And, of course, you'll find that in some Novus Ordo parishes,
yes.
but
it's
not
yes.
it's not the norm, Anita. It's yes. the exception, I would say, in many instances.
And I'm glad people are coming to Mass. We
yeah.
want them to.
I'm glad they're at least coming to Mass.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's not any lay person's fault for what these modernists did to the
right,
church.
To the
it's
church.
Not their fault. Archbishop Vigano says, like all frauds, those that are hatched by the devil and his servants are based on false promises that will never be kept in exchange for which we give up a certain good that will never be restored to us. In Eden, the prospect of becoming like gods led to a loss of friendship with God and to eternal damnation, which only the redemptive suffering of our Lord was able to repair. And Satan also, which only the redemptive sacrifice of our Lord, thank you, was able to repair. And Satan also tempted our Lord, lying as usual, I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms because it has been placed in my hands and I give it to whomever I will. If you will prostrate yourself before me, all this will be yours. Luke chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But nothing that Satan offered to our Lord was really his, nor could he give it to whomever he wanted, least of all to the one who is Lord and master of all. So the temptation of the devil is based on deception. What can we ever expect from the one who was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44? With the pandemic, little by little, they told us that isolation, lockdowns, masks, curfews, live stream masses, distance learning, smart working, recovery funds, vaccines, and green passes would permit us to come out of the emergency. And believing in this lie, we renounced the rights and lifestyles they warned us would never return. Nothing will be the same again. The new normal will still be presented to us as a concession that will require us to accept the deprivation of freedoms that we had taken for granted. And accordingly, we will compromise without understanding the absurdity of our compliance and the obscenity of the demands of those who command us, giving us orders so absurd that they truly require a total abdication of reason and dignity. At each step, there's a new turn of the screw and a further step towards the abyss. If we do not stop ourselves in this race towards collective suicide, we will never go back. Strong prophetic words
yep.
from a holy
yes,
prelate.
Yes, very prophetic. And you know, we have freedom in Christ. And if what they're trying to do is just knock our faith out so then we can start believing them and take the place of God. This is what's happening. Just like the Jews. The Jews were enslaved by the Egyptians.
Yeah.
And look at a lot of their faith, I'm sure.
It waned.
They lost it. And
they started worshiping the Egyptian gods.
Yes.
And
that's what they're trying to do.
Destroy the mass to make Catholic secular humanists.
There was a reset at that time. That's an example of a reset in Scripture.
Yeah. You destroy the mass.
Yep.
You destroy the sacramental graces. You destroy the faith. People become secular humanists and pagans.
Right.
So Archbishop Vigano has another section called Resist the Diabolical Plan.
Yeah. He continues with, it is our duty to uncover the deception of this great reset. Because the same deception may be attributed to all the other assaults that over the course of history have sought to nullify the work of redemption and establish the tyranny of the Antichrist.
There he goes, he's in that
there
word.
There you go, the Antichrist.
Tyranny of the Antichrist.
I think he believes he's here.
Yeah.
Because in reality, he continues, because in reality, this is what the architects of the Great Reset are aiming for. I like the way they said the architects.
Mm.
That's what they're creators. They're creating this. The New World Order, a name which significantly echoes the Conciliar Novus Ordo. Ordo. There you go. What overturns the divine cosmos in order to spread infernal chaos in which everything that civilization has painstakingly constructed over the course of millennia under the inspiration of grace is overturned and perverted, corrupted and concealed. Well,
we'll be back.
We'll come back to that.
She's coming.
Yeah, because our lady's here, and we got to give her all due
Amen.
Respect. We love you, Mother Mary.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
We are back.
Jesus 911,
spiritual warfare show.
Every Friday, it's us, the Romeros, two sinners that love Jesus, love Holy Mother Church, love the Blessed Virgin Mary, working out our salvation in fear and trembling
Absolutely.
Through the sacrament of matrimony.
We wouldn't have it any other way. This is the way to live.
Yeah, and so we're talking about, Anita, one of the great voices of the church today.
Yeah.
It's Archbishop Vigano.
Yes.
I try to read everything that he comes out with because he gives me hope.
He's a St. Paul. Of our time and the Paul Revere.
Yeah. John the Baptist, all
yes,
wrapped up
all
in one.
Those.
He's talking about the Great Reset. Anita, he believes that the Antichrist is here. You read anything he says, he's always saying all this is happening with the spirit of the Antichrist. What does that mean? Just connect the dots.
Yeah, let me continue to where I left off. I'm going to just go over the beginning of his article. Not the beginning, but at this point where we left off. It says, the New World Order. He says, a name which significantly echoes the Conciliar Novus Ordo. So that's in Latin, New World Order, Novus Ordo. Overturns the divine cosmos in order to spread infernal chaos, in which everything that civilization has painstakingly constructed over the course of the millennia, under the inspiration of grace, is overturned and perverted, corrupted mm-hmm. and canceled. Wow.
Okay, we've got the caller from Bakersfield. We got Oz. Oz, you're on the Jesus 911. Go ahead, my friend.
Amen. Good morning, Jesse. Good morning, Anita. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, Oz. Good to hear from you.
Hey, we'll be seeing you in a couple of hours. What events are you putting on this weekend, this Saturday?
That's right. So this Saturday, tomorrow, we're putting on a Catholic conference for men and women here in Bakersfield. It starts at 2:30 p.m., goes to 9 p.m. Powerful talks from you, Jesse, and Anita as well. We look forward to hearing about St. Faustina's retreat with Jesus, right?
You know,
yes. So I want to invite everybody.
You know, you're taking me out of the box, right? Out of my comfort zone. How dare you?
I think you've trained just as well, so you're ready. No, but I want to invite everyone. I do want to invite everyone to the conference. It's going to be wonderful. The great thing too is the proceeds of this conference are going to go to the four Catholic elementary schools here in Bakersfield. So that's a great thing to do, you know, to have. As with COVID last year, our Catholic schools here in town, you know, they were shut down for a period of time, short staff. So this will be a good time to put some funds back into the Catholic schools here in town in Bakersfield. But again, I do invite everyone to our Catholic conference tomorrow, 2:30 p.m., 9 p.m. here in Bakersfield. It's being sponsored by the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. But again, this is for men and women. If you're interested, go on to eventbrite.com, register, or call or text me directly. If I can give my number, 661.
Absolutely.
661-912-6410.
Say it again.
Excited to see you, Jesse. Yeah, 661.
Yeah.
Sure. Let me do it again. 661-912-6410.
One more time.
661-912-6410.
And you could look at our website. We have all the particulars there and how to contact Oz. And we look forward to seeing all of you out there. You know, let's fill up that venue so we can support these Catholic schools. I think this is just a wonderful endeavor.
And let's all draw closer to Jesus Christ.
So that's the main reason we're there, is to get closer to Christ.
Right.
And that's a twofold purpose for this event, right?
Thanks, Oz. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you,
thank
Oz.
You see you guys in a few hours. Okay,
you got it,
yeah, absolutely.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, going back to our Archbishop Vigano's, it's funny. Let me just say something. The church is going to be saved by lay people.
Yeah.
That's what. Who said that? Not me. Venerable Archbishop Fulton mm-hmm. Sheen. You see people all over the country, like this man, Oz mm-hmm. Zubaran, all over the country. They're the ones that are putting on these conferences, retreats. You know why? Yep. Because they want the faith to keep on being proclaimed, because in a lot of our pulpits, there's silence or there's modernism.
Yeah, and they're using our modern technology for evangelism. They are the evangelists, the modern-day evangelists, those that are putting on these retreats. And 'cause it's a sacrifice. It's a year-long of planning and headache. And believe me, the devil likes to put his tail in any event that's going to
bring souls to Christ
and evangelize those that are seeking God and seeking truth. Absolutely.
Amen. All right, so we go back to Archbishop Vigano's article. He says, each of us must understand that what is happening is not the fruit of an unfortunate sequence of chance occurrences, but corresponds rather to a diabolical plan. That's exactly what I said in the last segment. In the sense that the evil one is behind all this, which over the centuries pursues a single goal, destroying the work of creation, nullifying the redemption, and canceling every trace of good on planet Earth.
Wow.
And in order to obtain this, the final step is the establishment of a joint rule in which command is seized by a few faceless tyrants who thirst for power. Mm-hmm. Fauci, Soros, Bill yep. Gates, Obama, the Clintons, who are given over to the worship of death and sin and to the hatred of life, virtue, and beauty, because in them shines forth the greatness of that God against whom they still cry out their infernal non serviam.
Yeah.
The members of this accursed sect are not only Bill Gates, George Soros, or Klaus Schwab, but also those who for centuries have been plotting in the shadows in order to overthrow the kingdom of Christ, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Warburgs, and those who today have formed an alliance with the highest levels of the church using the moral authority of the Pope and the bishops to convince the faithful to get vaccinated.
Yeah, he continues with, we know that the lie is the emblem of the devil, the distinctive sign of his servants, the hallmark of enemies of God and of the church. God is truth. The word of God is true, and he himself is God. Speaking the truth, shouting it from the rooftops, uncovering the deception and its creators is a sacred work. And no Catholic nor anyone who has still preserved a shred of decency and honor may shrink from its duty. Each of us was thought of, desired, and created in order to give glory to God and to be part of a great design of providence. From all eternity, the Lord has called us to share with him in the work of redemption, to cooperate in the salvation of souls Amen. And the triumph of the good. Each of us today has a possibility of choosing to take sides either with Christ or against Christ.
It's that simple.
The children of darkness and the children of light. That's it. Yep. Either to fight for the cause of the good or to become an accomplice to the works of iniquity. The victory of God is most certain, as it is the reward that awaits those who make the choice to enter the battle on the side of the King of Kings. And the defeat of those who serve the enemy is also certain.
Amen.
As is their eternal damnation. We know that the lie is the emblem of the devil, the distinctive sign of his servants, the hallmark of the enemies of God and the church. This farce will collapse. It will collapse inevitably. Let us all commit ourselves with renewed zeal to return to our King the crown that his enemies have snatched from him. I exhort you to make our Lord reign in your souls, your families, your communities, in the nation, in the workplace, in the schools, in the laws and courts, in the arts, in the media, in all areas of private and public life.
This is called the social kingship of Christ, what Archbishop Vigano just said.
Wow.
This has always been the goal of the Catholic faith.
Doesn't that give you just hope?
It does.
And zeal and want to, like, yes, yeah, let's fight. Let's go out in a battle.
Yeah, this re-energizes my entire soul when I hear a prelate speak like this.
Wow.
This is apostolic. This is prophetic.
I got emotional.
Yeah, this is like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, St. Paul. It's at that level. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my soul. He ends by saying this. We have just celebrated the anniversary of the apparition of the Immaculate Virgin to the shepherd children of Fatima. Let us recall Our Lady's warning about the dangers and punishments that await the world if it does not convert and do penance. This sort of demon is cast out only by prayer and fasting, Matthew 17:21, says the Lord. As we wait for a pope to fully obey the request of the Mother of God by consecrating Russia to her Immaculate Heart, let us consecrate ourselves and our families, persevering in the life of grace under the standard of Christ the King. May our most holy Mother and Queen, Mary Most Holy, also reign with him.
You know, I like the fact that he's right there. He's just took a stance that that Russia was never consecrated. That's the school of thought where he's come from. He just said it.
And many bishops, that it wasn't bishops, consecrated
it
properly.
Properly. Yeah.
There was a general consecration to the whole world, but
not
he's saying
specifically. It wasn't precise.
Yeah. As per Our Lady's request.
Yep.
And when Our Lady asks something, we need
to
precision.
Do that. We need to obey.
Yeah.
And she tells us every day in Scripture, do as he tells you.
Yeah.
How many of us are doing that?
Exactly.
Do as he tells you.
Here's my take on Archbishop Vigano. He's a prophet among us. He sees the world as black and white in a society that prefers gray. And he challenges us to make black and white choices in a world where gray is the norm. And let's not forget, gray is the devil's color. Ergo, that movie that I never watched and never will, Gray, 50 Shades of Gray. Mm-hmm. Right, let's talk a little bit about prayer in this. Let's wrap it up.
We started this and we're ending it.
Right. There's three conditions on how one should pray. And we're going to go through the three conditions real quick. The reason why prayers are not answered is because there are conditions attached to them.
Yep.
And St. James once said, once again, he says this succinctly in James chapter 4, verse 3. He says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Wow.
In other words,
how many of us?
So what's he basically saying to us? Saying to us?
It's funny. We're praying for worldly goods. That's what it is. Material things that will gives us pleasure, titillation, but not to make us holy.
So God's not going to give you.
Like for example, Lord, I want to win the lottery, and a lot of people.
Lord, I want a Tesla. Lord, I want a Lamborghini.
Yeah, it's all the passions. There you go. That's an example.
So what's the first condition of prayer, Anita?
Okay, the first condition of prayer is to be heard is to be humble. Okay, that's the first condition. It says in Scripture, in Psalms 51, verse 17, it says, my sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a contrite, humbled heart. Mm. O God, you will not scorn.
There it is.
Wow.
Humility. St. Paul says humility is the key that unlocks the heart of God.
Speaking about humility, here comes our mother, our blessed
the
mother.
The queen of humility.
Yes, the queen of the universe, La Morenita.
Ora pro nobis.
Te amo, madre, madrecita.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms, your beauty and your grace are the bright new dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
We're back, Tobias and Sarah, Jess and Anita.
Jess and Anita, our Jesus 901, spiritual warfare.
Yes, we're talking about the three conditions of prayer. The first one is to be humble. It matters not if one is a saint or a sinner. God hears those who are humble, and those who approach with an attitude of resentment or entitlement or hubris and pride and being centered on self, in their pride, they attribute qualities to themselves that belong to God. And that's why Scripture says, in James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in 2 Kings 25, the Bible also says, God's word, I have heard your prayers, I have seen your tears, now I am healing you.
Wow.
Anita, what's the second condition for effective prayer?
Yeah, the second condition is, which is the unconditional hope of obtaining all that is helpful towards salvation.
Confidence.
Yeah, confidence. In teaching the Our Father prayer, Christ exhorted his disciples to approach God with the confidence of a child to a parent. Those with confidence believe God will keep the promises when Christ said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Indeed, says St. Augustine, by promising, he has made himself a debtor.
Hmm.
Yeah, wow.
Another condition for efficacious prayer is perseverance.
Yeah.
So humility, confidence, and perseverance. God wishes to unite himself to those who, as St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 17, pray without ceasing. Christ tells his disciples that it is not sufficient simply to ask, but to insist, saying, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Perseverance in prayer, or persevering prayer, will obtain results beyond expectations. St. Bernard says, quote, when we pray, the Lord will give either the grace we ask or one that is more useful to us.
Yeah, I want to mention also that, you know, we get calls from a lot of mothers or wives talking about how they're either their husbands or their children are just living a life of debauchery, and they say they keep praying and praying, and you know what we tell them? Continue praying.
Yeah. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
There's no, even when they're not in a lifestyle that is not of God, you got to continue praying because you don't want them to fall outside of the of state of grace. So it's our, as mothers, as wives, as sisters, as friends, we must persevere in prayer always, every day. Every day. That's the first task that you must do when you get up in the morning. It's with the sign of the cross, you know, placing Jesus in your heart, the blood of Jesus covering your body, and praying and not losing hope.
That's right. Let me talk a little bit about the higher and lower faculties of the soul and monastic prayer. This St. Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about the faculties of the human person, by the way, what are faculties? The definition of faculties are the powers of the soul. Mm-hmm. Faculties, powers of the soul. So what are the six faculties of the human person? And in ascending order, from highest to lowest, you got the intellect, the will, the memory, the emotion, appetite, and instinct. That's the way St. Thomas Aquinas says the human person. These are the faculties, the powers of the soul. Intellect means we look for absolute truth. The will, it's a response to an event. The memory, a recollection of events. The emotion, a reaction to the event. Appetite, our desires. Instincts is self-preservations. Now, demons have access to the lower faculties, starting from the memory, emotions, appetites, and instincts. They have access to the lower faculties. They do not have access to the higher faculties, to your intellect and will. And the demons play on your emotions in order to overwhelm your intellect. So, this is why in the Catholic faith, we need to study our faith, because this way our intellect will be properly ordered and it honors the will of the Father. And why do we want to properly order our intellect? We want it because God wants it. God wants us to have a properly ordered intellect. Everybody who's diabolically afflicted has a disordered or malformed intellect. Now, what about the will? The will is strengthened and reordered through a life of prayer. So prayer and discipline properly orders the will to the intellect. Now, one of the beautiful things about, and my wife's pretty deep into this, she's a monastic. She's a Latina monastic. I always see her in the corner, you know, doing her little prayers. You know, she got a little corner of the room.
I have my own set of prayers.
I should just put on the wall war room or something, because, I mean, I'll walk in at night and there she is. She'll be there for a long time, or in the... She has, and even her office, she's got some beautiful images of Our Lady of Sorrows. I'll just walk in and I'll just catch her in prayer. But I'll catch her in monastic prayer, this quiet prayer, meditative, contemplative. And Anita, what's the value of the monastic discipline?
Yeah, the value of monastic discipline is that we order our life to prayer. Prayer at 6, noon, and 6 is joined with the communal prayer of the church.
So 6 a.m.,
12
noon,
12 noon, and 6 p.m. And
my wife's phone goes off at those times.
At those times, and that's where we play the Angelus at that time, because you're praying, like it said, communal prayer with the church.
So when you pray at these times, what does it do? It perfects metanoia. In other words, that conversion that you've had, it's ongoing.
Yeah, leading to God to flood us with his grace. This will snap the lower faculties, which are the memory, the emotions, the appetite, the instinct, back into order and restore intellectual and moral clarity to the person.
That's what prayer does.
Yep.
It snaps your lower faculties back in place
because yep.
they go off the track.
Right,
they go off,
right.
And we have to snap them back so they follow the
right.
intellect and
you
the
want
will.
The will and the intellect to be
to reign supreme
over the other four.
Yes,
yes, because the other four can take you anywhere. Look at BLM. Look at.
They follow the lower passions,
Antifa.
The lower faculties.
Look at a lot of these politicians. They're following their passions.
Look at everybody in prison. They follow their four lower faculties.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
and I'll tell you, Anita, the way we, and this is why prayer is so important, because when you pray, mm-hmm. you're repeating over and over again the dogmas and the doctrines of the church. And this is exactly how you purify your intellect, is by subjecting it to hearing the dogmas and doctrines of the Catholic Church.
For example, like the Creed. That tells you your commitment to Christ,
Amen.
Your love for Christ,
yes.
the Church, and the hope and being with the communion of saints.
Yes.
That all tells you right there. There's the dogmas and the doctrine right
yes.
there. See, on every Sunday.
That's right.
What we're doing is, what are we doing? We're purifying the intellect.
The intellect. Perfect.
And the will. It's so perfect.
The will.
So that's an example.
Yes. That's how prayer is so important.
Absolutely.
St. Benedict's one of the first prominent exorcists in the early Catholic Church. He founded monasteries in Europe at a time when the church was being threatened by the Vikings, barbarians, Visigoths, Vandals, and other evil pagan Nordic men. The monasteries that they built and created were fortresses of prayer. This is the weapon that converted these evil men little by little into Catholic Christians. Monasteries proved to be very effective missionary centers among the pagans. And the monastic prayer protocol from Liber Christo, by the way, is meant to give you an increase of grace and virtue to turn the person into an individual monastery of prayer. That's direct from Kyle Clement, who runs Liber Christo. Anita, what about Liturgy of the Hours? Our clergy are supposed to be praying
right,
that.
Right.
Do demons fear the Liturgy of the Hours?
Yes, absolutely. The demons do fear liturgical prayer more than any other type of prayer. Why? Because there is order, uniformity, structure, and discipline. And constancy. You've heard that word from us
Which
before.
Means what? What does constancy mean?
Continue prayer.
Yeah.
Fidelity and consistency in prayer. That's what it means. This is the way demons used to pray in heaven before their fall.
When they were angels.
Yeah, when they were angels, before they were demons.
Uniform and constant.
Right, constancy. In fact, in heaven, the saints pray liturgical. There are acclamations, doxologies, and antiphons. And that's uniformity
and structure.
Heaven does not look like some Protestant Pentecostal free-for-all where the saints are in spontaneous prayer and speaking in tongues. The Jews prayed liturgically
and still do.
Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed liturgically as well. The Liturgy of the Hours leans heavily on the Word of God, which I repeat is like a sword. It is an offensive weapon that wounds and torments demons.
And we've already gone through that in the past.
Yeah, our Liturgy of the Hours that we use, you know, we don't use the traditional one, but we use the Magnificat. And that's a pseudo Liturgy of the Hours.
Yeah, those are
they have the morning prayers, evening
and you
prayers.
Can do your own Liturgy of the Hours, your own structure. Just pray three
prayers.
Times a day.
Yes, right.
Structure your life to three times, and I pray three times a day. I pray the basic prayers of the church.
Right.
Okay, those are the basic prayers of the church three times a day, and I'll tell you, Anita. I mean, Saint Augustine really wraps it up here as to the importance of prayer. Ultimately,
yeah.
our salvation is bound with this. What does St. Augustine tell us?
Yeah, he tells us, if you pray well, you will live well. If you live well, you will die well. If you die well, all will be well. That
says it all.
That's consoling, that's comforting, that's hopeful. We need that, especially at this time of day and age where everything is very chaotic and uncertain. But remember, we can't put our trust in the world. That's when we put our trust in God. And those that put their trust in God, those are the ones that are going to be at peace.
Yes.
You're going to be at peace.
Now, you know, this is why St. Paul could be in a prison cell, stripped of everything. He had nothing, no possessions. And he can say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He was also whipped. with the cat of nine tails. He was tortured. He was beat up. Yep. And he's in a prison cell. All his, whatever property he has is gone. Whatever money, he's gone. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Because I'll tell you one, this world could take everything from you.
He's looking beyond the
but
world.
But it can't take our Catholic faith.
Our faith and in our Christ hope and our of love heaven. Christ and hope.
That the world can't take that. This world is passing away. Flee this corrupt generation.
Yes.
Put your faith in Jesus. Pray to Mary. Call upon her powerful intercession. Hold on to her dress. How do you do that? By praying the rosary every day. That's a wrap, Anita.
That's a wrap.
We're on our way to Bakersfield.
Yeah, on our way to Bakersfield. Pray for us and for those that are attending the retreat. That they get one moment closer to Christ.
Amen.
And
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons.
Pray for us.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a wrap. See you next week. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics. Stick around. Good stuff.
See you next time.